That was terrific. Good morning, everyone. Hopefully you can hear me through the mask. We'll all do our best. And welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Rachel Long, and my pronouns are she and her. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation. We strive to be welcoming to all, though we recognize that we all have biases that limit our understanding of how others may perceive us. We stumble in our efforts, but we commit to keep trying to grow our ability to love people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender identification, family structure, age, or abilities. We have a few announcements, and please see the paper order of service for additional events. Our shared offering today is with the Allied Wellness Center. The Wellness Center is a neighborhood center with the purpose of promoting health and wellness of the mind, body, and spirit of people living in the Allied, Belmar, and Dunns Marsh neighborhoods. There is a brief parish meeting next Sunday after the service, and we will be voting on a proposal to strike the word called from a section of our bylaws on the Committee on Ministry, so that this committee is active whenever we have a minister rather than only when we have a called minister. Presuming that change passes, the congregation will also be electing a member of the committee. Please sign up to help the Caring Committee and be a volunteer. There is a list on the kitchen counter, and Barbara Fry brought that announcement to us. From Archives Committee, please take a look at the display about Reverend Norbert Chapik in the archives cabinet by the stairway. This is the person who founded the flower communion ceremony, so that we had a couple of weeks back. And from Mary Mullen, please help yourself to tomatoes and zucchini from Mary Mullen's garden, which are right outside. Our chalice lighting words are the Abundance Chalice Lighting by Dawn Cooley. I'm not going to try to say her middle name. Read by Reverend Matt Aspen.
Good morning, everyone. I am the Reverend Matt Aspen. I use he, him pronouns, and I am so grateful to finally be here with you officially in this space as your presenter this morning. It's good to be here. Our chalice lighting words, Abundance Chalice Lighting by Dawn Cooley. We light our chalice this morning, grateful for the love that we experience in this beloved community. May the flame light the way for all who seek such abundance.
The opening music is number 298 in the Gray Hymnal, Sing the Living Tradition. Wake now my senses. Please stand as you are able.
Thank you.
is a selection from Emergent Strategy by Adrienne Marie Brown, and it will be read by Margaret Moses.
I'm Margaret Moses. My pronouns are she and her. If love were the central practice of a new generation of organizers and spiritual leaders, it would have a massive impact on what was considered organizing. If the goal was to increase the love rather than winning or dominating a constant opponent, I think we could actually imagine liberation from constant oppression. We would suddenly be seeing everything we do, everyone we meet, not through the tactical eyes of war, but through eyes of love. We would see that there's no such thing as a blank canvas, an empty land, or a new idea, but everywhere there is complex, ancient, fertile ground full of potential. We would organize with the perspective that there is wisdom and experience and amazing story in the communities we love. And instead of starting up new ideas, organizations all the time, we would want to listen, support, collaborate, merge, and grow through fusion, not competition. We would understand that the strength of our movement is in the strength of our relationships, which could only be measured by their depth. Scaling up would mean going deeper, being more vulnerable and more empathetic.
I'm afraid we don't have a story for all ages today. I think that's in your book. It's very hard to do a story for all ages when all of our younger folks are outside, all the unvaccinated among us. But we will get back to that again. As a caring community, we now take time to share special sorrows, joys, or personal concerns with our prairie friends. Also, we invite guests or visitors to introduce themselves during this time if you feel comfortable doing so. There will be a microphone. Please wait for the microphone to come to you before you speak, and remember to aim the microphone directly and speak right into the microphone. Margaret, anyone? Just raise your hand and Margaret will bring the microphone.
I just talked to my mom, my sister, and my mom's in the hospital, and they found out she had her third stroke, and she's a strong woman, and my dad's not in good health, and I'd like to have as many prayers for him as I could. Thank you. God bless with you.
We just have a joy. I'm Amber LaBoose, and we've got family here. So this is my dad, Gary, from Indiana, my mom, Lori, from Indiana, my twin brother from Arizona, and they're here visiting us. So just sharing that joy.
Hey, welcome.
My name is Barbara Fry, she, her. I just was cleaning off my desk, and I went over all the beautiful, wonderful cards everybody mailed me for breaking my hip. It was just joyful. It was this beautiful stack. I should have made artwork out of it, but thank you so much.
Well, my name is Andrew Garst, and my pronouns are he, him, and I have a joy and a sadness. The joy is coming here for the first service, and the sadness is not being outside with the kids.
Good morning. I'm Bill Schuyler, and this is my husband, Rich McKnight. We are co-living in two different places. We have a Rockford place, so we are part of the Rockford UU, and we also are up here in Madison during the week, so you'll see us off and on, depending on where we're at.
Great. Welcome.
Steve. He, him, joy to be here and listening to Matt for the first time. Delighted.
I'm Katrina. My pronouns are she or they. And I have two joys. One is that Friday was my last day of chairing my department for the last 3 years, and tomorrow is the first day of my sabbatical.
Hi, I'm Kathy, she, her, and have a joy. I have been helping to care for a friend of mine for the past 2.5 weeks who had hip replacement surgery like Barbara did. And he lived alone, and to keep him out of a nursing home, I stayed at his place. Luckily, we're in the same building, so I went back and forth. And yesterday he said, "You should go home." And I said, "Yay!" So my cats are thrilled. And I got a call from a friend of mine from my old women's group back in Pine Hill. And I was delighted. Got some news that was not so good, but she's in good health. She's doing well. And in general, things are going well back in New York.
I'm Patty Stockdale, she, hers. I'm happy to see Dara and Peggy Chavi here this morning. Haven't seen them for quite a while, so welcome from Beloit and one of our members. And also, I just want to remind you, if you want to sign up for Circle Dinners, the sign-up sheet is outside.
I'm Dara, he, him, it's great to be back. I'll mention, tomorrow is also the first day of my sabbatical.
Hi, I'm Emma. First time here, and I guess the joy is just meeting my friend Tammy for the first time in real life here. So that's good, and don't really have any sorrows other than having a 25-letter name. That's Emma Grunewald Reese, so doesn't fit on anything.
I lit one final candle for any joys or concerns that have remained unspoken. We will now have a time of silent meditation. Our presentation today is entitled Hopes and Fears by Reverend Matt Aspen, and this presentation relates to our sixth principle. I welcome Reverend Matt.
Good morning, everyone. It is truly, truly good to be here with you this morning. Blocked slightly by masks, but together nonetheless. Three weeks from now, our nation will be marking the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 terror event in New York City. One of those moments in our shared history where it's safe to wager that anyone that experienced the trauma of that day can still recall quite clearly. This past week, we also saw the Taliban return to power in Afghanistan. A regime that our government told us for the past 20 years was one of the prime incubators of the attack, a place that we needed to invest significant resources to ensure it never again became a harbor for terrorists that seek to do us harm. According to the BBC, in this past 20 years, the United States has invested upwards of $978 billion. We have lost over 2,300 of the 775,000 U.S. soldiers that have been deployed, and another 20,000 have been injured. It's also estimated that over 64,000 Afghan military and police have been killed. I don't know about you, but none of that makes me feel very safe. I'm quite sure that the Afghan citizens that have watched the Taliban sweep back into their cities don't feel very safe today either. Time was I had very little personal experience with this type of violent overthrow of government. Of course, that all changed on January 6th of this year when I saw an angry mob led by an individual bent on consolidating power for their own gain come inches away from doing just that. I've also now lived through my first global pandemic, although I can't say I've lived through it, because despite our best efforts, a large swath of the folks in this country don't currently have enough faith in our government to adopt the solution that seems to many of us to be the safe and obvious choice to lead us out of this mess. All of this makes me long for the simpler days 20 years ago, when I used to do all I could do to warn folks about the future challenges of climate change if we didn't adjust our ways. Of course, these days, I wish my fellow activists and I had done a better job of selling those warnings, because the future we predicted back then seems to be just about here. Thanks, Reverend Matt. This was just the ray of sunshine we hired you to bring into our lives. We'll get to that in just a moment. But in this moment in history, as you and I begin our time together, I think I would lack any shred of credibility if I didn't begin with an honest reminder of the challenges going on outside of the walls of this gathered society before I share my hopes for the future and why I haven't chosen to invest this next portion of my one wild and precious life here with you. I am here because I believe that this small but mighty society may just contain the seeds of change needed to heal all of the ills that we can see so clearly infecting the larger world of which we are just a small part. My favorite definition of a leader is quite simply someone that people choose to follow. Prairie is a lay-led community. I am choosing to follow you because I believe that your collective efforts are striving to lead the travelers that happen upon your caravan in the generally right direction and may form the basis of an emerging model that needs to be replicated more and more across this land if we are to ever change the trajectory that anyone taking an honest assessment knows is pointing us in kind of the wrong direction. You have hired me to minister to you. I believe that my job is to strengthen and provide additional support for each of you and for this community as a whole, as you collectively seek to embody the ideals and live out the mission that membership in this chosen society requests. Now you may ask yourself, why on earth would you think that the solution to all those enormous problems you listed at the beginning could possibly be found here at Prairie? And that is a fair question. But my hope, you see, is based on the concept of fractals. You'll come to find over time that I strive to gather most of my ideas these days from authors and thought leaders that hold marginalized identities. I've read and loved the ideas passed down from William Ellery Channing and James Luther Adams and the Transcendentalists and all the other brilliant thought leaders found in the early history of the UU faith tradition. But as pivotal as these thinkers have been in helping us to create much of the best parts of who we are today, there must be something missing. Despite the monumental advances that have been made based on the framework that they created for us, it is clear that we still have some major gaps in our thinking because the shared outcomes we are seeing in the world are still falling short of their loftiest visions. If you keep doing what you've been doing, you'll keep getting what you've been getting. The brilliant author, women's rights activist, and black feminist Adrienne Marie Brown wrote in her powerful book, Emergent Strategies, "Whatever future we have articulated that we want to create, we have to practice it in as many aspects of our current life and work as possible. This is what brings our vision to life." Let me read that again. Whatever future we have articulated that we want to create, We have to practice it in as many aspects of our current life and work as possible. This is what brings our vision to life. Brown consistently refers to the concept of fractals in her work, offering us the reminder that the larger world we experience is made up entirely of smaller parts that contain all the same patterns that we see at ever-increasing scale. The world under the microscope looks the same as the heavens through the telescope. The rivers on our planet, when photographed from above, contain the same patterns we find branching out through the veins on a leaf or within the veins in our bodies. The largest patterns in nature are never anything more than the smallest patterns in nature, amplified. A little side note. When I visited my friend Mary Franz the other day, she was carrying a copy of the latest edition of Scientific American under her arm. I noticed that their focus this month was also on fractals. I took this as a sign that not only had I found my people, but just maybe my thinking for this sermon might actually be headed in the right direction. The lesson here, and the reminder, is that the change we want to see in the world can and must begin at the smallest level. It begins within each of us. It begins with the ways we practice loving ourselves, and then how we strive to bring that love into our relationships with other people. This is the source of strength that we need to cultivate to survive whatever challenges this world ends up throwing us next. Whether it's another separation caused by an extension of this long-suffering pandemic, or something worse that we can't even imagine yet. I believe those of you who have built and maintained this society over the past 40 years have created an amazing foundation for the type of small stone, big ripple, society healing work that I'm describing here. In a world that has been ruthlessly designed to separate us into more and more isolated pods, you have become a model of what is possible when people turn towards each other. You work together. You play together. You take responsibility for maintaining and updating the structures that are required to keep a community like this connected. Your caring committee actually does care and checks in with you to make sure you're safe. I'm looking forward to helping support them in that process. You invest in creating nurturing spaces for the children of this community, one of the few remaining places in this world where they can feel safe and loved while supported in their struggle to make sense of the challenges inherent in coming of age in this world at this moment in history. From your mission, we, the members of Prairie, wish to associate ourselves together in a religious community which affirms that we share a common humanity, that we need one another, and that our futures are inescapably bound together. Folks that have been here from near the beginning of this place, you've created something that inspires hope in this world, a commodity that is needed now perhaps more than ever. Those of you that have been here for a shorter time, you've likely already begun to see what this collective can do when it comes together for a shared vision larger than any one of us individually. You've worked together and sacrificed to complete a beautiful update on your shared home. You've hired an amazing DRE that is inspiring our children week after week. And you've navigated the very real challenge of overcoming significant differences of opinion to get to the point where you collectively decided to call this community's first full-time minister. And I thank you for that. No one is perfect. Times change and needs change. The fact that you are still here, stronger than ever, is testament to the fact that you have built a foundation that is both grounded in the power of relationship and flexible enough to continually adapt and change as the world around you changes. I sense a hunger here to maintain what is good while continually looking for what is needed to make this place feel like a safe refuge for more and more seekers. hope to learn from you this year. I would love it if at the end of my contracted time with you that we both decide that our relationship should continue, and we can continue to widen the circle of this society to extend the positive ripples out to the wider Madison community and beyond. But even if we don't decide at the end that this is the place that I should be, know that my intention will be to bring all of the lessons that you teach me by your example to another part of the UU system and ultimately to the whole of our denomination. That is how good change happens in the world. One way or another, the most life-giving aspects of this small society and the efforts that you each contributes to its life will ripple through the rest of our shared world. You are not alone. We are here together. We are not the only ones that maintain our hope of the sixth Unitarian principle, the goal of world community was peace, liberty, and justice for all. I've seen encouraging movements towards this goal in some businesses, definitely in parts of the nonprofit space, and the messages coming from community organizers and from the Unitarian Universalist Association. But it all begins here. As Adrienne Marie Brown reminds us, small is good. Small is all. The large is simply a reflection of the small. This prairie is currently small. Let us each continue to strive together in all that we do to be a model worthy of expanding to the all. Blessed be, and may it be so.
Please stay up. So we have a few minutes for discussion, actually quite a few minutes. So please raise your hand, and Margaret will come to you with the microphone.
Hi, I'm Randy Converse. I want to thank you, Matt, for starting your presentation today with comments about Afghanistan, because I think it reinforces my hope that you will continue to join us and lead us in your collegial way in our struggle to make this world a better place and not have prairie just this appendage out there nowhere doing its thing. And welcome.
Dara, some of the things that you were saying, especially about the power of the individual, made me think, reminded me that Friday was the sixth anniversary of a little girl, a teenager, Greta Thunberg, sitting out in front of the Congressional Building in Norway. And that's, you know, one individual who, you know, sort of started that particular movement. But it was also one particular photographer, Anders Eklund, who took a picture of that, you know, and then convinced a small press magazine to include a story about that. But that's an example of sort of the power of the individual and how much that one person can do.
Another thing I would add to that is that no single individual ever gets to that focus of a moment in history on their own. Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Harvey Milk, all of them had groups of people behind them, supporting them, strengthening them, encouraging them. It is individuals that make some of those moments. It is the communities that support them that give them the strength to do so typically.
Well, it seems like through time, there's just a series of challenges that we all have, you know, and this being the latest one. One of the things I fear is that we impose our view of what is right or wrong on different areas and view ourselves as police. I think that's true when we went into Afghanistan and felt that we knew which group of people we should support and not. And so I hope going forward we'll see ourselves as less of a police force in the world and more of just a human outreach and help.
Now is the time for our shared offering. Our offertory music is Summer by Burns. Today is 1008 in the Singing the Journey hymnal, and thanks for those who jumped up to hand it out. When our heart is in a holy place, and please stand in body or spirit.
Thank you.
invite Heidi Hughes to read our closing words.
This reading typically invites gathered participants to hold hands, which you are welcome to do if you are next to someone that this would feel comfortable with. Another option is to simply hold your own hands together. Finally, and again, only if it feels comfortable, I would invite you to instead hold out your hands like this and just look around at the people gathered around you in this sacred space. The hand in yours belongs to a person whose heart is sometimes tender, whose skin is sometimes thin, whose eyes sometimes fill with tears, and whose laughter is a beautiful sound. The hand that you hold belongs to a person who is seeking wholeness and trusts that you're doing the same. As you leave this sanctuary, may your hearts remain open. May your voices stay strong, and may your hands remain outstretched.
Go now in peace. Please stand and greet your neighbor, and remember that this meeting hall is the safest place to gather indoors, or feel free to gather outside. And don't forget to return your name tags before you leave, and we hope to see many of you next week. Thank you.